Well, here we are again in the book of Philippians, in fact, Paul's letter to the Philippians. We've been taking this letter chapter and several verses at a time, not how you'd usually read the letter, but there's so much richness and so much to take from the letter that we're fortunate that it's been divided into chapter and verses so that we can really look deep into the wisdom that Paul is dispensing to the church at Philippi. And in today's snippet from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, we hear of Paul's deep love for the church there and how he shows this love for the church through his actions. Paul states his desire to send to Philippi at the earliest possible opportunity his dearest friend Timothy. Paul is somebody who doesn't really have things. He doesn't have worldly things, things that tie him to the world that we live in. He doesn't have a family. He's forgone all of these things, sacrificed these things for serving the Lord. You can imagine that as he's gone on his missionary journeys, he is lonely at times. And so when on his second missionary journey, he took along someone who was a student in Timothy, someone like-minded, someone who strong in faith, who had both Greek and Jewish heritage, he would have been very pleased. Eventually, Timothy becomes not a student, but a co-worker. And Paul goes as far to express his love for Timothy as to call him his son. And Paul loves the church at Philippi so much that he will sacrifice having his most trusted and closest companion with him so that the church there is well cared for. Paul thinks to himself, if he cannot be there at the church at Philippi himself, then there is no one better than he could send other than Timothy. What a sacrifice for Paul to make. This man who doesn't have much. This man who spent time in prison for his faith. And he's willing to forego his closest companion who has shared with him in those tough times, so that the church in Philippi will have the best opportunity. However, in this letter we also hear a great indictment of the church from Paul. It is Paul's assessment that even in these earliest times of the church, that many whose number make up the church are no longer mission-minded. It boggles the mind, doesn't it? That whilst even apostles are still alive and among the church, that there are those within the church, even in those earliest times, who are not mission-minded, but have become preoccupied with matters of self-interest. Paul says, as he writes to the church at Philippi, all of the others are concerned only with their own affairs, not with the cause of Jesus Christ. We mentioned some examples of this from the earliest church last week, really, of where people have got sidetracked from what is really important. We mentioned Ananias and Sapphira and how they attempt to deceive the early church and God. Although peripheral members, it shows that there were those within the community who were nevertheless portraying a lack of substance in their faith, distorted what was important. We also read in the book of Acts a quarrel that broke out regarding the distribution of the funds to the widows, a matter so serious that it brought about the appointment of deacons. Again, perhaps this isn't involving the direct leadership of the church, but it is involving some very serious allegations leading to the introduction of a new church office to make sure that these things, these monetary matters, are dealt with correctly. And that widows, whether Greek, whether Jewish, have their share. And I referred also to a big argument last time that erupted in Acts chapter 15 about who was in and who was out according to the ritual of circumcision. Well, never once did Jesus cite this as an imperative to salvation. It's an argument on a peripheral matter, on one of those things that perhaps Paul is referring to as being not important, not about the way of Christ, not about the cause of Christ. But it split the opinion of the apostles, and it led to the Council of Jerusalem, and it even threatened to divide the church, even in these first early embryonic stages. And no doubt there were many other examples of self-interest emerging at this time that distracted the mission of Christ within the church. Therefore, in today's reading, we have a certain question that is placed before us, not as part of the early church, nowhere near, but as part of that same church which is here in the 21st century. And that question is, are we more concerned with ourselves, with peripheral things, than Jesus and the welfare of others? To put it another way, as we touched on last week, and as Paul is pleading with the church at Philippi, we must ensure not to allow ourselves to drift away from our central purpose, the very example that Jesus set, the very command he established, which is to serve others through our belief in his way, in the way of Jesus Christ as Lord. We must pray that we don't get sidetracked, that we don't focus on unimportant things. I said, I think that as a church, that we've not got sidetracked from the mission, but it is possible that we've let opportunities pass us by to serve others. That waves of grace that we could have surfed on in helping others have fallen by the wayside, have just gone past us. But what church hasn't allowed some of these opportunities to pass them by? But we can only speak of our church here on the High Street in Rickmansworth. And it's possible also that in the fortunate financial position that this church finds itself in, that we may be challenged to support a cause from our own resources, something which might seem unrelated to us and the running of our church here, but of importance to the kingdom. We may be asked to support something not by asking our members to give more, but in sharing some of which we have gathered through the careful stewarding that has gone on over the years. Who might we support in this way? How might we give sacrificially, as Paul did when he allowed Timothy to be released for the good of the kingdom, even if it's in a different place to where he is? Let us not be in a position where we stand before God and are concerned only by our own affairs locally and not with the cause of Jesus Christ across other places. We must take more opportunities to serve sacrificially. We must catch more waves and get in on what God is doing in his world for his kingdom. These are waves of grace which can bless God's church and grow his kingdom. Our faithfulness and the faithfulness of those who have gone before us can be such a blessing. Just imagine if Paul had remained only concerned for the church at Jerusalem where he worshipped regularly. Who would have helped the church at Philippi and all the others that he was helping to build up in his missionary journeys? And Paul is calling the church at Philippi to support those whom God has granted the task of spreading his gospel. And as such, we are introduced and reminded of another willing worker in this passage. And his name is Epaphroditus. What a wonderful name that is. Well, Timothy and Epaphroditus are referred to in a passage that follows Paul's insistence to the church to shine like stars. And it's no surprise, after calling the church to that, that he refers to these two young men. In Paul's opinion, Timothy and Epaphroditus were two whose stars were burning bright for the service of God. And see how encouraging these words must be for a church like the one at Philippi, that one will be sent to them who Paul values most highly in Timothy, while the other, who longs to be with them at the church, will be sent Epaphroditus, or should I say return. Because what follows is an account of how Epaphroditus has shone so bright for Jesus Christ, representative of the Philippi church. What encouragement that one of Philippi's own, someone who has served amongst them, someone they are familiar with, could receive such praise for his work from one like Paul. There must have been some in the church at Philippi inspired by his star-shining ability and thinking that if Epaphroditus can do it, then so can I, so should I. Again, though, Paul uses as an example Epaphroditus of how one should serve amongst many who didn't or couldn't. Paul says about Epaphroditus, he risked his life and nearly died for the work of Christ in order to give me the help that you yourselves could not give. Here we see the imperative that it is for the many to enable the few to do God's work in situations or circumstances when they cannot. It is the responsibility of the whole church to enable mission and ministry to take place in all places. And there are many ways in which we can help today, aren't there? There are causes that we support. We support a missionary, Jude, in a small way. But we face before us a huge task in a Western world, at least, not to mention other places, but in the Western world at least, where people are exposed to the gospel less and less. How are we helping to equip the church with workers for the future? We here at Rickmansworth Baptist Church may have a minister, but there are many, many churches who do not. Our secretary David or any of the deacons will tell you that before I came back here, there were not many ministers available, actually. The church only met with a couple. Many more will retire in the next 5 to 10 years. And you know how many ministerial students began their training at Regent's Park in Oxford, where I trained this year? Zero. Zero. What wave of grace might be sent our way to ensure that ministers continue to be trained, that the kingdom be built up? And Paul says to the church at Philippi about Epaphroditus, receive him with joy as a brother in the Lord. And he says, show him respect. For those who are willing to serve, we should receive them with joy. They are willing to put to one side ambitions they may have had to be kingdom builders. And so here is a news flash for you. You may hear of dwindling congregations, of churches closing, but equally and arguably more concerning are our lack of what you would call vocations, our lack of candidates who are ready and being equipped to step up to the breach for the sake of the gospel. As a church, we can easily get bogged down in the nitty-gritty of maintaining what we have, which is important to a point. But let us not only be concerned with our own affairs. We must also ensure that we are concerned by and for the cause of Christ. Messengers, preachers, teachers, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries must be trained. In Paul's day, the harvest was plenty, but according to Paul, and perhaps surprisingly to us, the workers were few. Today is the same. We must invest and equip the next generation of workers. They will need to be equipped to do battle in a world where they are undervalued, sidelined in society, and even ridiculed for their faith. Perhaps this is not a position that people will take up lightly. And so, as Paul says to the church at Philippi, anyone who steps forward to help for the kingdom cause, show respect to all such people. Respect being, how can we help them in the kingdom cause? Amen.